Jesus, we thank you, for you have proven yourself. In our weakness, in you we found strength. In our failures, in you we found success. In our loneliness, in you we found a friend. And so we have made up our minds that we shall not give up on you. We were told, and we did believe, that if we wait on you, that you will come through. We were told that you are an on-time God. And so, Father, we are not confused by time. We're not frustrated by how long it takes. Because we know that you will come through. Our midnights, our dawns, our noondays are all controlled by you. You are a very present help, and so we won't give up. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, we've already come. Our presence is a testimony as to your power. As Grandma once declared, if it had not been for the Lord, who was on our side, what would have become of us? And so, God, we thank you for your faithfulness, for your favor, for your love. So, God, again, we've come, entered into this sacred place, and we pray, God, again, that we would be drawn near unto you, that we'll hear your voice. Again, open our eyes and our ears and make our hearts to be fertile ground. Oh God, speak to us. We need your gospel. Come, Lord Jesus. You're welcomed in this place. Forgive us of our sins. Have mercy. Speak, sir. We need your gospel. In Jesus' name we pray. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Come on, let's celebrate God together. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Come on, that's not everybody. Come on. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. Grab your tablets, smartphones, electronic devices, and your old-fashioned good old Bible. And join me in Psalm 62, the Old Testament of the Bible. Psalm 62. Amen. If you have your electronic device, you can get there quickly. If you have your old-fashioned Bible, if you get about middle ways the Bible, you'll be just about in the book of Psalms. And in Psalm 62, it's so good to see all of you and to see you representing your losing teams. I think I see some Carolina folk, but I ain't buying it. I don't see no Denver folk. That's good. That's all right. Who got a Denver shirt on? Yeah. Oh, I was finna say, do an exorcism now. Amen. Psalm 62. I don't want to trouble you alone today. I know you've got big plans today, so I'm going to get out your way. Amen. Old Testament Bible, Psalm 62, New Living Translation. I want to just lift up a verse or two, and then I'll make my case, and we'll be better for the journey. Amen. In the New Living Translation, Psalm 62, it says at verse 1, I waited quietly before God, for my salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will never be shaken. Another New Living Translation version reads this way, I wait quietly before God, for my victory comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation, my fortress, where I will never be shaken. God bless you. If you will just do me a favor before you sit down, look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I told you last week, I'm not there, but I'm still here. Amen. God bless you. Amen. God bless you. I said to you last week that we would take this occasion and preach this particular sermon. Some weeks ago, I was working on some things for the future, and this idea of Super Sunday hit me, and I called some of my preacher buddies and said, hey, man, what are you going to do for Super Sunday? And just about all of us kind of had this idea of trying to relate the atmosphere or the timing to gospel preaching. Now, you know us preachers, we can make a sermon fit anything. And so some of us talked about it over the phone, and we all kind of had our little twist on how we wanted to get into it. And one of my buddies, you know, we were talking about an hour and a half or so. He said, well, you know, Mitch, I know it's going to be hard for you to come up with something positive as bad as the Cowboys played this year. And I said, you know what? You know, you black preachers always trying to be funny. And he happened to be on the side of a team. He'd been with them a while. They had a better year than we did. And so we talked about what text we would use, you know, because we, you know, we always want to be, I guess, hermeneutically and homiletically correct. We didn't want to stretch it. You know, you don't want to just, so we all had ideas. So one day we got on a conference call. It's five of us on the phone. And, you know, one guy said, well, I'm going to use this story. And so I'm going to use that story. So we were all going around. And the fact of the matter is, I think that this Sunday does give us a great opportunity to consider winning and losing. In the body of Christ, everything is in your favor. In this book, everything is really in your favor, which is why I am always encouraging you to read the book. You know, read the book, and you will discover that there is not one part of your life, one instance, one circumstance, one trial or tribulation that God is not interested in and has a remedy for it. You've heard it said that he knows the very number of hairs on your head. You've heard it said that you can cast your cares upon him because he cares for you. You've heard it said that weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. That's how much he loves you. And so it is, children of God, I won't bother you too much longer, but so it is, I wanted to take Super Bowl Sunday, Super Sunday. You know, the NFL is some kind of somebody. Do you know they actually have a patent on the term Super Sunday? If you use that term and don't give license or acknowledgement, they can sue you. They slick like that. Them some rascals, man. That NFL crew, a bunch of lawyers, really. But I thought I'd take this opportunity to point you in a direction, because What I did know, Eric, is that everybody team ain't playing today. There's only two teams that have made it to Super Bowl Sunday. And so, again, a few weeks ago, talking about it, I said, okay, here's what, we can do something with that, because if there's one thing that I think we'll all be able to relate to today is losing. Y'all know it take a lot for me to put up with folk talking about my team. But I know that I ain't the only one today that's feeling some kind of way about not being in the big game. And so it is on this Sunday when actually, and I noticed today some ladies, some of you ladies wearing jerseys and stuff. I didn't even know you knew nothing about football. You know, I asked Sister Carolyn, I said, I didn't know you were red, and she went proud on me. Oh, yes. You know, okay, I got it, I see. Sister Brody got a Seahawks jersey on, and Jennifer got a Green Bay. I mean, I didn't even know. Who knew? But on this Sunday, whether or not you're a football fan or not, you are driven, you're proud into the atmosphere of Super Bowl Sunday. It started a few weeks ago when Best Buy put TVs on sale for Super Bowl Sunday, and Walmart had a Super Bowl Sunday sale, Kroger had a Super Bowl Sunday. They're selling us chicken wings and dip and tortillas, and everybody's getting in on the atmosphere of Super Bowl Sunday. Whether you like football or not, some of you today, I asked some of you as we were doing fellowship about going to Super Bowl parties. That's what we call them today, Super Bowl. It's a Super Bowl party. And it ain't a party like any other party. It's a Super Bowl party. And that's what we're going to, and some of us going to go with what we got on right now. We go to the Super Bowl party. We put our paraphernalia on because we've been drug into it. We've been lured. The commercials have been run. In fact, some of us today can't wait for the Super Bowl commercials. It's an industry all by itself. They're paying $5 million a minute to put a commercial on. Listen, I'd like that to be in our budget. You know, just give us what you would have. You know, I'll mention you every Sunday for that money. You know, but we've been pulled into it. So, and some of us who wanted to have chicken wings today went to the store and all the chicken wings gone, and we really didn't want to have no party. We just wanted some chicken wings. The barbecue sauce been picked over. All of the Rotella, you know, tomatoes are gone. The Velveeta cheese is gone. All of the chips are gone. The beer is gone. Oh, I mean, the sodas is gone. Because it's Super Bowl Sunday. Some of us just want to buy a TV and went in, and all the TVs are gone. I was in the store last night, and five people were in front of me with big screen TVs. I mean, you know, we all been drug into it. And it's all because of a media blitz. It's a campaign. It started, this is the 50th Super Bowl. For 50 years, some of us in here can remember the first Super Bowl. Some of us were there at the first Super Bowl. You were an usher, a concessionaire or something. But 50 years, you know, I'm 55. I don't remember a lot of them, but I remember enough of them. And so, for 50 years, and this thing has gotten bigger and bigger. They mentioned the other night, I was watching a program on the history of the Super Bowl. You could get a ticket to the first Super Bowl for about $8. The average ticket for this Super Bowl is $5,000, and you can't get one if you wanted one. Again, I'd like that to be in our budget. And so it is, we've all been driven, we've all been drawn into Super Bowl Sunday. And Tina Turner said it best, that the whole of the matter comes down to one of them being determined as simply the best, to be better than all the rest. And that's what it's really all about. And even those of you who are here today, and I appreciate y'all, we playing the game now, we got our little jerseys on. Even those of us who don't really get into football have been called to pay attention to this Sunday. And somewhere along the line, around 6:30, when it's kickoff time, we're going to either root for the Carolina Panthers or the Denver Broncos. Some people say that they want Peyton to get his last one on his way out. You know, he's okay. And then you got the Cam Newton fans who are saying that Cam deserves it because Cam is Cam and Cam is, okay, fine. But it's 11 men out there. 11 guys, it's 11 on this side, and everybody's got their own version of how this thing. I'd like to see Carolina just blow them out and then sit on the bench and put in people out the stands and let them go play. They're that far ahead, you know. I don't want to see Peyton Manning get no trophy just because he's retiring. A whole lot of folk done retired and never been to the big game. Go on, sit down somewhere. You want to be your last rodeo? Get your horse and go on about your business. But the fact of the matter is we've all kind of been drawn into it. And what I see biblically, the connection is that in this Bible, we are constantly looking at the lives of winners and losers. There are no greater words in all of the Bible than the word victory. The Roman letter says that we ought to all be encouraged because, watch what Paul does, he tells us that we are more than conquerors. That sounds like a winning strategy to me. And all of us at some point in our lives are going to have to deal with the reality that I did not win. I didn't win. I tried. I gave it. I gave it my prayerful attention. I made proper preparation. I put everything into place, but it did not turn out like I thought it would. Can I get somebody to wave at me that can say it didn't turn out like I? This ain't how I saw it, Reverend. I really thought that I would be in a better place. Not that I'm in a bad place, but come on, let's just talk among each other. Isn't there somebody here right now that even though you're not in a bad place, you saw yourself in a better place? Amen. You saw yourself with different kind of friends, and you saw yourself with a different outlook and a different perspective on something. Not that it's all that bad, because we've learned not to complain too much, but the Bible told me that I was going to be more than a conqueror. The Bible told me that I had a greater strength. The Bible told me that victory would be mine. But yet, I'm not there. I'm not in San Francisco. I didn't get the golden ticket. But I'm still here. And I realized something that Paul said that I thought I would use. I'll be done here in a minute. Paul tells us, In this relatable time, that all of us must realize that the competition is fierce. Can I get another witness that would just wave back at me and testify that if folk hadn't gotten your way, if folk hadn't bothered you, if other folk hadn't applied, you'd have got the job. If other folk hadn't interviewed better than you did, if other folk hadn't had a friend or cousin in HR, you would have certainly had the advantage. But how many know that you can't play the game without competition? And can I tell you some good news today? Your competition has made you better. Yes, sir. Yo. I told you last week that just because there's opposition does not cancel the opportunity. And Paul said to the church, he said, listen, please understand, you've got to cast off some things. You've got to let the losing season pass away. And here it is, beloved of God, every one of us in this room have been told we got to run the race. We got to show up. We cannot forfeit. Look at your name. Tell them, don't forfeit. Yeah, don't chicken out. Because listen, sometimes you gotta not look at the competition. You can't watch them get off the bus. You can't look at their film because you look at them and say, ain't no way in the world. Anybody ever had it like that? Anybody ever been up against somebody or something and you said to yourself, boy, look at here, I don't stand a ghost's chance. But you gotta show up anyway. Nudge your neighbor and tell them, show up anyway. You got to realize that the Bible says all of us got to run with endurance the race that God has set before us. How many of you did not realize that it was God that set that thing up on you? Y'all missed the shot.
He said, you got to run the race with endurance that God doesn't always give you the advantage. Sometimes you have been designed to lose. Oh, y'all done looked the other way now. Somebody else gonna win sometime. Grandma told you, every dog got his day. And realized that he said, listen, how do we keep going? How do we stay in it? He says, we keep our eyes on Jesus. That's how you do it. That's why even though you're not there, you're still celebrating that you're here because you kept your eyes on Jesus. Listen to me now. He said, listen, please understand that it is because you keep your eye on him, he said, that he champions and initiates this great faith. He perfects it even when you lose. Everybody in the room today is forced by society to want to be a champion. Society pushes us. How many of you remember even in elementary school they had competition? They had the spelling bee and they had the highest score and the gold star. Remember the gold stars? They put everybody's name on a little thing up on the wall and gold stars. Some of y'all looked up there and have no stars. How many of y'all are no star people? Let me see the no star people. Thank you. 1, 2, 3. The rest of y'all act like y'all always had. Come on. Okay. They had gold, silver, and blue. The gold star means you is some kind of somebody. The silver star means you almost. And the blue star, and then you got no stars. And I know it's more than four of y'all. But the reality is it creates competition. Society demands that we pick a champion. Even in the Bible, the question was asked, who will go for us? Who will be our champion? One of my movies I like is the movie Excalibur, the old school version with Sean Connery. And when Guinevere has been called into a fault, the question was raised among the table, who will champion for the queen? One of the knights had to volunteer. If no knight volunteered, she would be cast to death. But all of us need a champion. All of us desire a champion. In fact, if there is no champion, we feel like we've been cheated. There's a commercial, Deacon Walker, that I watch, and I like the commercial, and it's a Kia commercial. And it really throws you off because it doesn't really make the car the issue. But there's a father and son. They're coming from the football game, you know, little boy's trailer. You don't really even get to see the little boy. But the daddy's got the trophy in his hand. And they're walking back to the car, you know. And he look at the trophy and it says, participant. He said, participant? He said, we won every game. You know, why he got that mark in his pocket, I do not know. But he peels off the participant thing and writes champion and turns around and hands it to the little boy, and the little boy said, thank you. He said, yeah, that's right. In essence, it seems to me like it's more about the father than it is the little boy. But there's something about that commercial. It sticks with me every time because none of us want to be crowned participant. No. They listen, every team gonna be represented today because if you ever watch Super Bowl, you know they every team has a representative. And you know those other 30 guys standing up there are like, man, please, really? I gotta go out there and stand on the field with my jersey on. Man, I ain't. Come on, how many of y'all have been like that? They made you show up to crown somebody else. I gotta act like I'm happy you won. Me acknowledging you won is me acknowledging I lost. I got a problem with that. So he writes champion, and so they drive off. And here it is. In this moment, all of us would rather be there. Not necessarily there, but you know, the champion. There's a song, you know, we are the champion. I like that song. You know, and there's a line in there that says simply, goodbye to loser cries. Ain't it really what they say? Ah, How many of you don't mind losing but don't like being picked on because you lost? Now, it's one thing for you to beat me. It's another thing for you to badger me. And you, how many of y'all ever told somebody, now look, I know I lost, but you going to hold up on that. Some of y'all got that look in y'all face. I see it right there. Yeah, right there. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Louise Pope. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Darren, yeah. Uh-huh. I don't mind losing, but now all that other stuff, you got to hold up on that. And so it is that he says, I'm just going to wait. He said, I'm going to wait. I'm going to take my time now. Here it is. In losing to better prepare to win. Watch this. We're just about done. In every year, there's a cycle. Now, let me tell you something. In the Bible, I did some research for y'all, Trey. In the Bible, there are over 3,000 male characters. 3,000. Of that 3,000, not all of them are champions. And what the Bible does is it parades before us both winners and losers, the fabulous and the floppers, the winners and the whiners, the starters and the quitters, and all of them are paraded before us with equal enthusiasm. Here it is. Last year, 32 teams went to camp. They started out with OTAs. Some people explain what OTA, the organized team activity. All of them started out with OTAs. Then from the OTAs, they went to what we call camp. And from camp, they went to scrimmages. And from scrimmages, they started the preseason. And the preseason led into the 53-man cut roster when they got down to the last guy. And then they officially announced, this is your team. And so everybody started out that way. And every team, if you had asked every one of those 32 teams, what was their objective? They would say to go to the Super Bowl. And everybody knows ain't but two teams going to the Super Bowl. One team cheated to go last year. Had no business going, but they got there, and thank God they didn't win. And everybody started out with the same thing. But here we are now, 30 teams disappointed. Raiders, Cowboys, Panthers, Redskins, Packers, Seahawks. All of us got our head down saying, I'm not there. What does God say to us? I hear what he's saying. And I'm here to tell you that what God is saying to you is, first of all, if in fact you plan to be there next time, there are three things you must do now. Nudge your neighbor and say, here's what I must do. The first thing you must do is accept your situation. Please, beloved of God, stop getting bent out of shape because you don't win. You don't win all the time. You don't get every job you apply for. You don't get every grant you write for. You don't come out on top in every situation. And what you got to learn how to do is accept the situation. Because here is where I am until I'm somewhere else. Y'all missed the shout right there. You got to learn how to accept where you are in order to then somehow move to where you want to be. You accept the situation. Why? Well, the first thing you got to do when you accept the situation is you got to learn how to live with your loss. Y'all missed it. There are instances in all of our lives where we are going to prove that you will lose far more than you win. Come on, talk back to me. Just because you've been defeated this time does not mean you have to die forever. Y'all didn't see it. I said, just because you lost this time doesn't mean you have to die forever. Some of y'all don't know how to lose with dignity. Some of y'all lose and then you want to go burn the place down and you want to cut people ties and cuss folk out. You got to learn how to live with losing. Why? Because it is inevitable that you will lose more than you win. You got to learn how to lose with dignity. Still put your jersey on, Redskin fans. Oh, yeah, y'all thought y'all was something because y'all beat the Cowboys and y'all made the playoffs. Oh, Kirk Cousin is everybody's cousin until Aaron Rodgers showed up. Oh, yeah, everybody was honking Redskin stuff everywhere because y'all made the first round of the playoffs. Well, shucks, where y'all at now? You got to live with the loss. And what you must understand is all of us learn better from losing than we do from winning. Shout goes right there. Because you can't sit here waiting to die because you lost. You got to accept the situation. Second thing you got to learn how to do is that you live after the loss. You got to learn how to live and learn from losing. Why do you learn from losing? Come here, Joseph. Joseph is an interesting character. I'm just about ready now. Joseph is an interesting character because if you look at Joseph's life, it looks like he just keeps losing. Goes to the pit. That's a loss. Now, here's a guy who came out to bring provision. He's coming out to be nice, make sure his homeboys, his brothers, is well cared for, and he ends up in a pit. Loss. Out of the pit thinking, well, okay, they done changed their mind. It was just a joke. How many of y'all have been in a bad situation and you think they just playing? You know, Joe's probably thought, oh, they just playing. They gonna come get me. They just trying to be funny, you know, and tick-tock. And then they come get me, think, all right, boy, I knew y'all going. And then from the pit, he ends up as a slave in Potiphar's house, losing. And then he gets there and accommodates himself. Watch this now, because I told you got to live after the law. Joseph didn't commit suicide. Joseph now working for Miss Potiphar, and he starts living with the law. And he's learning from losing. So Joe's doing right there, and then things go bad. Miss Potiphar starts thinking that Joseph looked like one of the Chippendales, and she said herself, well, when Mr. Potiphar's away, Miss Potiphar's allowed to play. And Joseph says, no way, not today. And she says, then take thy coat away. And okay, I'm stopped right there. And anyway, Joseph loses. Strike. Joseph goes to prison. And, you know, really, he could have been killed for the act of adultery. But Potiphar liked Joseph, I think, and sends him to prison, losing. And he's learning, gets to prison, and sitting there in prison, and time goes by. And one day, there's a scenario where his gifts are called upon. Some of y'all are going to miss this. Wherever you are, you're still who you are. Okay, now that y'all got it. What I'm saying, Joseph didn't stop being Joseph because he was in a pit or working for Potiphar or in prison. You are who you are, and this is the rub. Here's the rub, and some of y'all ain't going to shout. What you fail to understand is that there are some places God puts you so he can use you better than where you are. There are some places that you are right now that you consider a losing situation where God is actually using rather than while you're losing. Y'all missed it. Joseph is losing, and there comes a day when somebody comes to him and says, can I ask you something? Here's the lesson. You got to learn how to accept and excel in both situations. Y'all missed it. Just because you don't come out supernatural, just because you don't come out first, doesn't mean that you lose your character. Joseph is losing, but he kept living after each loss. Some of y'all, soon as you lose, you want to give up everything. I ain't going to try no more. I done tried to look like no matter what I do. Listen, honey, homeboy, God is still in charge. Young lady, just sing it. Don't give up on God because he won't give up on you. You got to learn how to live after the loss, and you got to learn how to learn from losing because winning don't really teach you a whole lot. Then the other issue is after you accept the situation, you got to learn here. This is going to help you here, Dr. Dixon. You got to learn how to advance through suffering. Man, it's going to be a long summer for us, ain't it? Us Cowboy fans, I think it's more of us in here than anybody else. That's how we is. We roll like that. But listen, it's going to be, listen, I just read the other day, you know, I'm strung out on the boy that Tony Romo going to have surgery. Dez Bryant got to have more foot surgery. Jason Garrett still the coach. Jerry Jones still a drunk. It's going to be a long summer for the Cowboys. But we're going to have to advance through our suffering. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying that you got to learn how to take your stumbling blocks and flip them over and make them stepping stones. You got to learn that whatever the devil did against you, you got to use it for you. You got to learn how to not let what people did to beat you down keep you down, but you got to take down as an alternate route to getting up. Sometimes you can't climb the mountain. You just got to keep making circles. You have to learn how to advance even while suffering. No, it ain't no fun to not be there. No, it ain't no fun to not have a chance to get a trophy. But the fact of the matter is, I got to keep pressing. And here's a hard one. This is another hard place to shout, Dr. Dixon. But some of y'all need to understand that God don't have to move you for you to magnify him. God doesn't have to change the situation or cheat for you. God doesn't have to put you on the top for you to bring him glory. Sometimes it's the bottom that makes the greatest noise. You're just sitting here, and I know some of y'all sitting here just waiting to die and waiting to get over and get under. No, you got to learn how to keep making progress. Got to keep regrouping. You got to learn, watch this now, how to rise, shine, and give God the glory. Watch this. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers had a horrible season, but they announced last night that Jameis Winston was the rookie of the year. That's it. That's an advancement there. The St. Louis Rams have abandoned the city of St. Louis, moved to L.A., but Gurley was the rookie. I mean, you don't see it. You got teams that had bad things happen overall, but there's some light at the end of every tunnel. And so it is, beloved of God. Even when you're feeling bad about the thing, you got to keep on making progress. You got to realize that even though I didn't get the interview this time, I didn't get the second call, I didn't get the promotion, I'm still going to remain in good character. Because if I die, if I quit, if I resign, if I lay down, it's over. But there's next season. There's tomorrow. And so it is, you got to learn how to appreciate the fact that God doesn't have to move you so you can magnify him. Somebody got to sing praises in the doctor's office. Somebody got to sing praises in the courtroom. Somebody got to sing at that cemetery. Somebody's got to sing even though they did not get what they desired, because God is still worthy of praise. And in all your ways you must. And then too, you got to learn how to put into practice what Isaiah published. Isaiah said you got to learn how to wait on the Lord. This is not our season. But there's a thing called tomorrow. Come here, Annie. Annie said that the sun will come out tomorrow. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, bet your bottom dollar that tomorrow there will be sun. Now, for some of y'all that are not as churchy as I thought you are, I'm not talking about the S-U-N. I was really trying to remind you that the Lord will make a way somehow. I'm telling you now that no matter what the enemy does, no matter how many times you have to struggle through defeat, remember now, the Lord said he's a battle axe in the time of war. If the Lord did not intend for you to engage in warfare, he would not have described himself as a battle axe. Remember, he is the one that said, I'm a bridge over troubled waters. If the waters were not going to be troubled, he would not have described himself as a bridge. It was the Lord that said, hold your peace, honey, and let me fight your battles. If the Lord didn't think the enemy would rise up against you and try to beat you badly about the head and shoulders, he would not have told you to hold your peace. But look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm so glad that the sun will come out tomorrow.
In other words, you got to learn, beloved of God, that whatever you have been up against, you were never by yourself. That's why I heard the Lord say, listen, you just call me and I'll show up. You don't have to worry about fighting with trivial folks. Look at your neighbor and say, ain't got time for that right now, because I'm putting into practice what Isaiah published. I've learned to wait on the Lord. I've learned to be of good courage. Listen to what he said. He said, I waited quietly before God. Tell your neighbor, all that fussing and hubbub ain't necessary. You got to learn how to wait quietly on the Lord. Why? Because when you wait quietly, you're demonstrating your confidence. You're saying to folk who think you ought to be pulling your weave out and chewing off your nails, they're looking at you thinking, why ain't Jasmine losing her mind? She didn't get the job. She didn't get called to the Super Bowl. Her sister's getting married and she's younger. She's older. The older supposed to get married. Why isn't Jasmine losing her mind? Because I'm waiting quietly before the Lord. Because the one I want ain't showed up yet. Because the thing I really desire, I haven't told y'all about. Come on and look at your name and say, you don't know like I know. Because I can wait quietly before the Lord. And he reminds us that when you wait in confidence, you also are waiting for a complimentary confirmation. In other words, I hear God saying that that ain't for you. Oh, they thought it was for you. How many have ever zigged when folk thought you should have zagged? Look at your name and say, you better watch me now, because I'm waiting on the Lord. And so it is, after I've learned how to accept my situation and advance through my suffering, here's the last thing you must do, Melvin. You got to learn how to alter your strategy. You got to learn how to fool some folk. Look at your name and say, I got you this time. Yeah, you listen, you can't allow yourself to fall for fool's gold. Say amen, somebody. Because some people think that you're in it just for recognition. No, I'm not in it just to be recognized by man. I'm in it that God would get the glory. The Bible says, be mindful of getting the praise and platitudes of men, that you don't miss out on getting the praise of God. How many would rather that God be praised? Thank you, that's nine of y'all. So what it is you must learn, watch this now, because he says, I will never be shaken. In other words, you got to alter your strategy, because what you tried last time did not work as you thought it would. So what you got to do is you got to regroup. You got to regroup, because what was working once before did not work this time. Eric, I was listening to ESPN a few nights back during the season, and they said something that broke my heart. They said that most teams in the NFL have figured out how to beat the Dallas Cowboys because we do the same thing all the time. And I started watching the game, Stacy, because you know how we feel about our boys. And sure enough, I saw it myself. It was 3rd and 7, and they ran to the right the same play. Next time it was 3rd and 7, 3rd and 6, 3rd and 5, they did the same thing. It was 2nd down, they did. I said, oh my God. We need somebody that understands strategy. You can't always be stagnant and expect to make progress. Pastor, what did you just say to us? I'm saying some of y'all are frustrated because you're not making progress. It's because you keep doing the same thing. For God's sake, change your strategy. You got to learn how to surprise the enemy sometime. You can't always do what folk expect you to do. You got to learn how to fool even yourself sometime. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm going to alter my strategy. Because if I stay here like I've always stayed, if I dress like I've always dressed, if I sit where I've always sit, if I go the same way I've always gone, if I keep hanging around the same people I'm hanging around, how can I expect to ever be a winner? I've got to alter my strategy. Then he reminds us, he said, not only must I not allow myself to fall for fool's gold, but Vicky, I like this one. I've got to build a better foundation for my faith. In other words, the Bible reminds us that our hope is built on nothing less. Stay with me. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Y'all missed it. You gotta stop believing so much in you. I'm not saying don't believe in you, but believe in the you that's in him. You gotta build a better foundation that is not based on falsehood, but based on faith. What are you saying, Pastor? Let me show you. He said you got to learn how to put all your trust in the Lord. The Bible says, be careful of broadcasting that perhaps today I shall go here or there or do this or that and not have given consultation with the Lord. You've got to learn how to ask God and wait for God to give an answer. You've been running around trying to do it your way. You think you Frank Sinatra singing, I did it my way. No, you need to regroup. Build a better foundation that is based on faith in God. You need to let the Lord lead and guide you. David said, the Lord is my shepherd. And yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death, I'm not going to be afraid. Why? Because thou art with me. Can I get you to witness back to me that some of you know the reason you've been losing is because you have left the Lord out of your plans. You have left the Lord back at the start. Y'all ain't talking to me now. You stop counting on him. You only called him when you wanted to let him have an update, but you didn't allow him to lead and guide you. You didn't sit at counsel with God. You sent God an email or a text. And the reality is, your faith was built on falsehood. Your faith was built on your money and your good looks or maybe your few friends. But now you're going to have to go back and scratch that thing and build your foundation on the Lord. And you got to learn how to wait until God says move before you move. You can't just go after Johnny Manziel because people think he's good for you. Look what happened with the boy now. You can't go after every Art Schlichter and every Donovan McNabb. You've got to learn how to build your foundation on faith in God. In other words, you got to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Some of y'all ain't tried that strategy lately. You've been trying to wing it. You've been trying to wig it. You've been trying to fake it. No, you're going to have to stop right now and alter your strategy. Look at your name and say, I'm going to try something different this time. And then you must also remember that you've got to finish so that God gets the glory. In other words, beloved of God, what I'm trying to tell some of us is that we were trying so hard to get to the winner's circle that we got off the path. We were trying so hard to be recognized that we lost sight of what's really important. And so it is, the writer says, I know where my victory comes from. I've made up my mind that if alone in God I have victory, then I'm going to make sure I stay with the Lord. I feel better now because 32 teams started out with the same youthful and wishful ambition. But today there are two of them. And I've made up my mind that next time I shall be the one. I've made up my mind that next time I'll be the one doing the interviews. Next time I'll be standing on the podium. Next time I'll be flying first class. Next time I'll be lifting up the trophy because I'm going accept that this was a bad situation. I'm going to advance though I'm hurting, but I'm going to change my strategy. Look at your name and say, the devil is in for a surprise. I'm not going to be as vulnerable as I was the last time. I'm not going to keep trying the old thing. I've made up my mind that he alone is my salvation. He alone is my victory. And so it is, the close of the matter. If there's always a thing called next now season. In other words, what I need some of y'all to know is even though the day is not your super day, it's the day that you can set up for a super day. In other words, you got to learn how to start working now for what you want to come in the future. The Bible says that therefore laid up for me is a crown that shall be given. But I heard Paul say that not everybody that runs gonna get a crown, but only them that run to the end. Look at your name, say, neighbor, I feel my Jane Cleveland spirit that I am no ways tied. What I'm going to do in this off season is I'm going to learn how to get myself together. I'm going to work out a little stronger. I'm going to stay a little longer. I'm going to put my hands to the plow, and I'm not going to look back. I've made up my mind that this time next season, I'm preparing in my now season. In other words, I'm not going to take a day off. I hear the Lord saying, give us this day. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I'm going to take advantage of now so I can set up my next. I'm going to learn how to give God the glory while I'm still in training, while I'm still working out. I'm going to give God the glory, because when the sun comes out tomorrow, I'm going to be standing there with him. When the sun shows up tomorrow, he's going to call my name and say, well done. When the sun shows up tomorrow, I'm going to be on the Lord's side. I need to know, is there anybody here on the Lord's side? I know we're wearing our team colors, but is there anybody here want to hold up the bloodstained banner? Is there anybody out of here that's got the mark of Christ? Is there anybody here that knows that our God is an awesome God? Is there anybody here that knows that the Lord will? Won't he do it? Won't he do it? Can't he do it? Did he do it? Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I made up my mind that I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Ain't God all right? Won't God make it better? Won't God make it greater? Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, every round goes just a little bit higher. Is there anybody here that wants to go higher? Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you miss me from singing down here and you can't find me nowhere, come on up, come on up, come on up, come on up. Anybody want to go up? Can you take it higher, higher, higher? This time, next year, I'll be there. Anybody want to be there? Grandma put it this way, oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There the same for him. I may not have made it this year. Eric, don't quit. Hang in there. Don't walk away. We're going to start spring training any day now. Okay, go ahead. But you got to accept the situation. Some of you are in a bad situation, but you got to live after loss. And you got to learn from losing. And then you got to also remember to keep advancing through your suffering. There's an old commercial Dr. Dixon used to run, said, never let them see you sweat. Don't let folk know you're losing. Keep smiling, honey. Keep your head up. Keep singing to your own self, for I'm a jolly good fellow. Keep singing hip, hip, hooray. Be your own toastmaster, but keep advancing. Look at your name and tell them, don't sit there till you die. You got to advance through your suffering. And then you got to alter your strategy. Some of y'all will have better church if you just sit on another pew next Sunday. Oh yeah, some of y'all have a whole lot better experience in the worship if you stop sitting around the same people all the time. Matter of fact, come to church a different way. You'll realize that the city is bigger than you thought it was. You got to alter your strategy. Don't fall for fool's gold. Don't let the devil trick you. You're better than that. And you got to build a better foundation of your faith. Can't keep walking around here depending on man. I watched that little bit of that Bernie Madoff movie about the Ponzi scheme. How in the world? You know why? You know how he was able to pull it off? People were greedy.
Listen, if you got, listen, I'm telling you right now, if you got like $1 million, I think I'll just hold on to what I got right there. Trying to get $2 million. No, I got $1 million. I'm going to give it to you. I can make you some money. No, I've already made the money. You know, don't be greedy. Then you gotta remember that if you build the foundation, but here's the ultimate test, you've got to give God the glory. It ain't all about you. Stop being so selfish. Thinking every Sunday we gotta call your name or we gotta put you up front. Now, give God the glory. You need a new strategy. It ain't all about you. Matter of fact, let's minister to our neighbors all around us and just tell me it ain't all about you. See, some of y'all scared because you know they don't like that. All your strategy. Just because you can sing don't mean you get to sing every Sunday. You know, it ain't all about you. Y'all trying to change the strategy. How do the devil keep tripping me up? Because you keep doing the same thing. Every Friday you going to the liquor store. Every Saturday night you hanging out with the frat boys. That's why your strategy is bad. You and the girls keep having girlfriend Thursday and girlfriend Tuesday. The devil know. Oh, I know where they at. Fool him. Let the devil look out there and go, well, where is he? He should have been here by now. He usually here with a bag of ice and some brewskis. You wondering why you can't get up to go to church on Sunday? Your Saturday strategy is bad. You at the phase two going, ooh, ooh, all night, and then Sunday morning going, oh, no. You can't, ooh, ooh, and then go, hallelujah. You don't be tired. Look at the name and say, see? Mm-hmm. So if you want to be a winner, some of y'all in a whole lot of trouble right along through there. But here, I'm serious. You got to accept the situation. You're not there, but you're still here. You're going to have to make advancements. You know, one thing about Joseph, I didn't want to talk about him too long, but Joseph really was making advancements. In every losing situation, it actually was moving him closer. And see, that's what some of y'all don't see. Some of you all can't see, how can God be using me and I'm losing? He's the 11th born of Jacob and Rachel. And this is the guy. If you look at him, you'd say to yourself, don't want to be him. Pit, slavery, indentured, then prison. And here's the kicker. When he tells the cupbearer, he said, listen, man, just remember me. Just remember me. I think the baker must have made some bad biscuits. That's why Pharaoh killed him. But you can't get mad at a cupbearer. I mean, somebody bring you a good drink. That's a good thing. I think that's what that was really all about. Pharaoh had a little taste. Y'all don't know how to laugh. I'm saying, you know, so he, the cupbearer lived. The baker got killed. You can't make no bad biscuits and live. He said, when you lift the cup to Pharaoh, you know, the Pharaoh like, thank you, boy, I appreciate you. And it takes him away. He said to Pharaoh, oh, please, master, you apologizing to the wrong guy. He should have went down on visitation day and told you, man, I'm so sorry. I forgot all about you, but I'm going to tell him tomorrow when I get back to work. But he calls him up. And again, don't lose your character. He don't go to Pharaoh and say, what you want with me? He's honest. He said, listen, what you're asking is of God, but I'll do my best. And in that moment, all of that other stuff. How many know that when the good thing happened, all that other stuff is going to fade away? And sometimes you can go from last to second in just a moment. He didn't let him be first in command. He said, now listen, other than me, you're going to be a big ball and a shot caller. And some of y'all are so mad that you're in your pit, that you're in prison, that you can't see that there's a thing called tomorrow. God has a way That's why the Bible reminds us it is through trial and tribulation that we become the champions. Don't blink on me. Don't misrepresent me. You may not see it yet. But oh, there's a thing called tomorrow. As we stand on our feet together, I know I've taken up too much of your time. I'll let you go. Next Sunday, we're going to Rivermont to celebrate part of the installation services of Pastor, and we want to really go. Byron is the son of one of the former pastors of our church, so we're going to go over there in that 3 o'clock hour, and we're going to bring some Brookville. Amen. Next Sunday, so we're going to go and church them up and show them how it ought to be done, that God get the glory. And then we're going to go and get our biscuit and leave. But listen, I need to remind you, pay attention to the announcements as they come. Our new disciples class is alive, and we really need those who have not attended at any time. You need to attend and come in and be trained. Come through the rear entrance, and we can train you on Saturdays. What time do we start? Good. 10 a.m. Come on up and learn the Lord. Amen. We need you to do that, and we need to make sure we get that up there, you guys back there in the media thing. Make sure that announcement is constantly before us, and the people need that. While you're standing on your feet, I want to encourage you to accept your present situation. It's not the end of everything. I want you to remember to keep encouraging yourself to advance through your suffering. Can I give you something to get a little bit encouraged about? Everybody in the room that's got a little suffering going on, raise your hand. See, you're not alone. How many have made up your mind that you're not going to quit? See? So you got to advance. And then alter your strategy. Do some things different. Get some new friends. You know, tell some folk, listen, it's been a good run, but I think it's time for you and I to part ways. We'll have a party together. You get some chicken wings and I get some chicken wings. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. And stop doing the same. Drive a different way. Put your right shoe on first instead of your left shoe. Put it on the right foot now, but, you know. Do some things. Listen, you'd be amazed if you do some things different. Subtle things, how it changes so many things. And then you got to remember that in the end, you want to make sure that God gets the glory. Amen. Enjoy your day today. But before you leave, should you not make a decision about Christ? That's what we really were trying to show you, that he will change your situation. He'll give you strength through the suffering. And he is your best strategy. The Bible says, I tried him. They that call upon the name of the Lord. How many know that he is a very present help in the times of trouble? Amen. See, I know I can give him glory for that. And he loves you today. If you've not accepted him as Lord and Savior, he loves you today. You are a winner. You don't win all the time, but you're still a winner. Because once you win, they can't take that from you. Nobody really has a right to declare who can and can't. But I tell you this, if you're on the Lord's side, you're a winner. Amen. I don't have as many trophies as I thought I deserved. I don't have as many medals or plaques. But this I do know. The Bible said that the angels in heaven done signed my name. That's all that matters. I just want to hear him say, well done. I hear people talking all that their talk sometimes about who's up there looking out for them and who's looking down and who, I don't know about all that. But what I do know, I want to hear him say, well done. Amen. Because some folk, if that is how it works, they might be like the cupbearer. They didn't forget about you. They so happy in heaven, they forgot about us. Amen. Because I know when I get to heaven, I'm going to forget a whole lot of y'all. Going to be all about me then. No, I'm just kidding. But if you've not accepted Jesus Christ, would you come very quickly?
I've taken up much too much of your time. Would you come and give your life to Christ? You can be a winner because you're designed to be so. You're predestined to be some kind of peculiar generation. The light is already on you. Would you come today? If you've not accepted Jesus Christ, why not? Don't get caught up in religion. Don't get caught up in church politics. We're not about any of that. We really just want you to have a life in Christ. And if we've done anything today to encourage you along that vein, come on. This is not about us. This is about you and the Lord. I don't have a heaven nor hell. I can't do it. The preacher's here. The deacon's here. They can't do it. Only Christ saves. And ultimately, that's what we were trying to get you to see, that you're a winner in Christ. He said, I waited on the Lord, and he was my victory. And you can win in Christ Jesus. If you're a business owner, you're going to have losses. That's why they have a profit and loss sheet. If you work for somebody, you might get fired. If you're married, you could end up divorced. All kinds of things. But in Christ, you're a winner. Guaranteed. They that wait upon the Lord shall. Would you come today? We invite you to pray with us. If you'll come and pray with us, we're going to go. I know you got places to be. Thank you so much. But if you'll grab somebody's hand and ask them to come and pray with you so we can change our strategies a little bit. Somebody asked you on your job to pray for them when you get to church on Sunday. They know you're faithful. Somebody in your household is sick today and could not come to worship with you. They ask you to pray for them. You have a son or daughter. You have a neighbor, friend that's struggling with an illness, an infirmity. Somebody's looking for some relief. And you want to bring their name before the Lord today. Somebody wants to celebrate what God has already been doing. God has already been doing something wonderful. You've seen sick recover. You've seen the unemployed get employed. You've seen men and women, boys and girls released from their torment. Some have been released from the torment of their mind. Some have been released from the torment of situations. Some have been released even from the jail, from prison, from institutions. There's no greater freedom than the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. And people have asked you to pray for them. Some of us are praying in celebration, for good news came and came quickly. For some of us, good news took a while. Oh, God, thank you. Some of us have finally got to finally. And we're so happy in the Lord. Some of us today are going to be traveling, so we need the Lord's traveling mercies. Folk go to these Super Bowl gatherings and they get to having a little bit of fun, so you got to be careful. Amen. You got to get back home. You need to designate somebody to not have too much fun. Amen. And the reality is that a lot of times we start out just to enjoy ourselves. And if we're not very mindful, things can go bad quickly. So we want to ask God to keep our minds straight today. And then all we do that we might enjoy our family and our friends, but to respect that which is good order. Amen. And then we're praying for our church. We're praying for our pastor. We're praying for our deacons, our preachers. We're praying for those who are sick and shut in, absent from the fellowship. We're praying for folk that are just lazy. Just lazy. Won't get up and go to church. Ain't nothing wrong with them. They just lazy. And we're looking around saying, now where is so-and-so today? We're praying for them. And we're going to call them too. We're going to get out in the car and say, look here. I just got through praying for you. Where you at? And they're going to tell us, well, I was going to call. I don't want to hear that today. You need to alter your strategy. Amen. Because that's the reality of it. We're praying for the unfaithful and the faithful, righteous and the unrighteous. We're praying that God would make us grow, that God would sustain us in the times of our struggle. Man, I tell you what, it's a struggle. Something always happening, ain't it? Always something. Look at your neighbor and tell him, always something. And my grandmother used to say, every time I turn around, it's something. But that's all right, Lord. We're going to alter our strategy. We're going to beat it this time. Amen. So God bless you today. Thank you for holding hands with somebody. Thank you for not letting anyone stand alone. We're celebrating that God is doing something wonderful. Sister Ozelia has been asking us to pray, and we've been obedient to that cause. And I don't want to try to embarrass the young lady, but I just want you to know that that young lady we've been praying for, standing on her own two feet. God is doing something marvelous in that baby's life. I asked Sister Ozelia, I said, well, how many times a week does she go? She said, no times a week, Pastor. It's once every so often. God is doing something. He said, ask me and I'll do it. We'd be foolish not to ask him. I mean, he doesn't put himself out there like that. We might as well take advantage of it. And God is doing something wonderful in that baby's life. And I'm so proud to see her standing. Because, you know, some folk will ask you to pray for them and won't even go to church to pray for themselves, or won't even come back and say thank you like them lepers, you know. But she's coming. I'm believing God for greater miracles. It's going to get greater. It's going to get greater. You know why? Because our God is awesome. And what I've seen him do before, I can hardly wait to see him do it again. God knows from the crown of our head to the soles of our feet. The devil meant it for evil. Sometimes that's all you know how to say, but God. Sometimes, but just by the time you get ready to say something else, that big lump come in your throat. And that's all you can say. And he knows what it means. Sometimes you just got to wave at it. Man, baby, we so prayerful for you. Don't give up on God, because he won't give up on you. The Lord is. Father, in the name of Jesus, keep doing what you're doing in that baby's life. There are people who are depending on her. There are people who love her. And there are people she loves. There are people she wants to serve. And more than anything, Lord, I just believe she wants to give you a greater glory. She wants folk to know that the Lord did it. And God, we want you to know that we will never fail to acknowledge that it is by your hand. And so, Father, what you've done in one life, do in others. All around this room, there are sons and daughters, husbands and wives, fathers, mothers, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. We all need you. We're all saying at the same time with the same voice, come, Lord Jesus, thy will be done. In hospitals, in nursing homes, hospice, even under terminal care, we're praying, Lord, for our children. Lord, last week we were praying for that family. And little did I know, Lord, the young lady had already been found dead, 13 years young. What happens to us when we steal children with intent to do bodily harm? What could that child have done at age 13? Lord, we pray for our society. People do evil things. In Texas, Lord, I picked up the paper, a family of six slaughtered. Four dead bodies were found in the desert. Young man walks into his ex-girlfriend's job, kills her and co-workers. Lord, we need you. As grandma used to say, Lord, be a fence all around and do it every day. This whole political atmosphere, men who desire to be someday leaders of this nation with all the pettiness and name calling, and that's ridiculous. The government is on your shoulders. Lord, send us a leader. You choose for us. For Lord, this whole process is tainted. The government is on your shoulders. Protect us even from ourselves. Turn this people now, Lord, to their lives, their requirements, and even the desires of their hearts. But Lord, be a fence and deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory. Heal us. Deliver us. Secure us. Save us. In the name of Jesus. And the redeemed of the Lord said, amen, amen, and amen. Be nice to some people. Don't call them a loser, but tell them better luck next time.
Excuse me, play rehearsal will be Saturday at 4.